Yeah, that's right. And most of that is what both my research and my teaching, where I am right now at Wisconsin Stout.
Yeah. So how new is a lot of that? I mean, sculpture I've heard of and has been around for a long time.
A lot of that has grown out and evolved out of programs like sculpture, actually, believe it or not. That's actually how I discovered it and stumbled upon it. I'm trained as a sculptor traditionally. At some point in college, I just discovered that I really enjoy working with computers as well, and how can I merge these two passions I have? And that's how it kind of transported into 3D modeling for me. The 3D modeling aspect is older than you might think. I would say 10 to almost 20 years old, mainly because it's rooted in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And again, science forging the path in this case, as is often. The art and design world started realizing, well, we can utilize these same tools in a different way. So you'll see lots of companies coming out with different programs that are dedicated specifically more for art and design. And then, of course, game design, again, in the beginning, you know, when we see things like the Nintendo or the Sega or the Atari, lots of those games were created by people that weren't, of course, educated in game design.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also has seen a really great evolution as far as maybe being only in the last 5 to 10 years, maybe more on the younger side of five and less as far as game design programs.
I mean, how much engineering did it take to come up with Pong?
That's a very good point.
Well, it was fun, though.
It was, exactly. And that's the thing that is really a challenge about game design, is that sometimes the simplest things, Pong, Tetris, Minesweeper,
sure,
they have an addictive value that they can be replayed over and over again, which is one of those golden treasures that a game designer looks for, is replayability.
Yeah.
For the gamer to have. That's one of the things I like to tout the most about my profession is I'll go down and be playing some video games, and my wife or one of my friends will jab me and say, oh, you should stop playing that. I say, well, it's research. What?
Sure. Yeah. Well, hey, you can get away with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do titles like Industrial Light and Magic and Portraits of George Lucas hang in your classrooms?
Or
as kind of, you know, used to have George Washington.
A Hall of Fame, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, as a reminder of what can be accomplished.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it is. We don't actually have the titles, but we will have posters up. We'll have share with each other clips from movies that maybe just came out, or we'll have movie nights. And it's something that we're always passing on to our students, seeing, you know, here's an internship opportunity at such and such studio. Think about applying. Because obviously, even though that's the big, big time, that's a dream of a lot of the students that I teach, is mm-hmm. to find themselves at a studio like that or a game design studio someday. And part of that is because it is a growing field and it's new. But it's also because you're taking a lot that is already out there as far as visual effects and digital cinema. And then you're also adding on top of that a level of interactivity and choice. And so it's, I like to also always refer to it as kind of this new frontier that the movies had,
mm-hmm.
you know, years and years ago, where people were just amazed by the idea of these movies. And I really think that's kind of what games is doing now.
It almost feels like an unlimited frontier, though. I mean, it's like, what else can they do? Everything is bigger, brighter, louder, you know, more devastation. I don't play any of those games, but I've seen the promos on TV for them.
Yeah, and I think what is going to happen is in the next 10 years, I'd say, we're going to see quite an evolution in the game industry. And it's already happening on the indie level in the sense that right now all the blockbusters, not all, many of the blockbusters are shoot-em-up games, you
yeah.
know, first-person
mm-hmm.
shooters, violence, gore. And I really do think that they're taking advantage of the idea of, like you said, as much volume you can turn up, as much gore you can produce.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happening now, and partly thanks to some of these education systems set up, like Stout and other area schools would have, the students are going to be applying that knowledge kind of more in an educated way. And they're going to start saying, I'm going to use this tool I have, this tool I know, that, game design, and make some change with it, like we might see with certain films, whether it be a documentary or even just a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to be really interesting, is that as the game market grows up, So will the games. And they're already starting to happen, but I think it's going to happen even on a larger scale.
Our guest is David Beck. He's on the staff for the School of Art and Design at UW Stout. Let's talk about the piece of art jellyfish burger that prompted my wanting to have a conversation with you. It was recently recognized with the honor of gaining permanent display status at the Smithsonian. By way of a visual, since we're on radio, it's a burger with a slice of onion. There's tomato and lettuce on a bun. But instead of a meat patty, I guess jellyfish could be meat, maybe traditional meat patty, there's a jellyfish. Just before we sink our teeth into it, you would like us to think about it for a while. Tell us about that.
I find with a lot of my artwork, I try to reel the, without using a fishing pun here, but reel the viewer in, attracting them with something, whether it be repulsive looking or beautiful looking or just interesting or funny, hoping that that will kind of sear an image into their mind so that then they can walk away from that and they might think, oh, that's gross in this case at first, or that's funny, but then start thinking about the larger implications of, well, why would I ever be eating a jellyfish burger, which is actually how this all started, is that working with a marine scientist, trying to communicate that idea of what would happen if the ocean were so fished, overfished, that one day the only things we would be able to access in the ocean for food would be a jellyfish.
When you do something like that that has that message, is that something that you feel as if you have to tell them? Is there a caption? Do you have to give them a hint? Or are you just going to let them, sorry for the pun again, but flounder?
That's actually an interesting question because usually, no, there isn't much of a caption. This all started with us creating something as a visual for a journal article. Jennifer Jacquet and I, she on kind of the science side and me on the art side. And so we actually had a napkin kind of hovering above it, a dirty napkin that had some ketchup stains and mustard stains on it, that essentially had a statement that Jennifer had written out talking about that idea of overfishing. So in that case, it was slapped right in their face. But upon kind of further iterations of it, we decided to remove that and leave it for a little bit more open to interpretation. And then oftentimes, of course, as is with the internet, you're going to find an image with some sort of caption below it anyway.
What did you use to create this? What's the medium?
It's 3D digital image. So it was all rendered in a 3D modeling program, knowing that I couldn't just go to the store. Well, I guess I could have maybe, but go to the store and purchase a jellyfish. I wanted to have this be something that maybe would trick people into thinking it was real, but also does look somewhat fake as far as the tentacles being a little too grotesquely, you know, bumpy and textured.
At the bottom of the release that I read, there was a rather long website address, and I would love to give people an address at which they can see it for themselves. Is there a shortcut for people to see the piece?
They could go to my website, just davebeck.org. From there, they could go through to the portfolio section and find it, or they could just type in davebeck.org/jellyburger